You're listening to Security 360, a CertSecurity.com podcast. I'm Rob Westervelt. This is episode 1 for March 15th, 2007, Web Services and SOA Security. Welcome to the program. Security 360 aims to give our listeners more than one viewpoint on an issue. Simply put, we'll circle around a specific issue to give you the whole view, not just a one-sided view from the mouth of a single expert, a single software vendor, or a single analyst. In recent years, all the buzz has been around building a service-oriented architecture. The goal is to use web services to create more interoperability between systems and applications. Now, as companies implement Web 2.0 technologies, some experts believe there needs to be a fundamental shift in the way companies address security. First, we'll tackle the issue by discussing it with Jason Bloomberg. Jason is a senior analyst and a principal at Zapthink. Zapthink is an SOA Enterprise Web 2.0 advisory and analysis firm. Then, we'll hear from executives from two business software vendors that have been added in recent years, SAP and Oracle Corporation. They'll talk about the ways they address security in their software. Now, SAP is urging customers to move to its NetWeaver platform, while Oracle Corporation is incorporating its various acquisitions into what it calls a Fusion Middleware and Fusion Application Suite. Well, without ado, let's start out with Jason Bloomberg of Zapthink to get an independent analysis of the issue. Jason, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I guess we could start off with, we hear so much about SOA and how, especially from the business software vendors, enterprises are moving towards an SOA. It doesn't happen overnight. It's an evolution. Does that mean that security is going to evolve along with SOA?
Well, yeah, definitely security is continuing to evolve as organizations apply service-oriented best practices to security. But also, the movement toward loosely coupled interfaces has basically exacerbated the security problem in many organizations. Before, they were able to rely upon proprietary closed interfaces to give them a measure of security. Right? It was hard to integrate with anything, so it was also hard for the hackers. Well, now they're moving toward open interfaces, toward network, broad-based network environments with location-independent services, and this basically raises the bar for security in these organizations.
What are some specific security issues with web services and SOA? Can you describe what some of the major issues are?
Well, one of the key issues is the user context problem. Right? If you have let's say you have a set of coarse grain business services that expose capabilities from across your IT organization, and you're going to consume these services, say, in your enterprise portal. Now you have users coming to your portal, accessing services, but the services abstract capabilities from multiple different backend systems. Well, they logged in on their portal, but what user do they represent when you access the backend systems, and what privileges do you have, or how do you maintain that user context where you may have logged in once at the portal, and now you have to figure out what you're entitled to do across all of these backend systems. So that's one of the key challenges, because you have these coarse grain business services that abstract this functionality, and that abstraction can work in different ways at different times.
Mm-hmm. And should enterprises be relying on their IT vendor, say SAP or even Oracle, to provide security, or does it go beyond just the major software vendor, hardware vendor?
Well, it's important for any organization to understand that you can't buy SOA from any vendor.
Okay.
So SOA is a set of best practices for organizing your IT. Now, you'll need to buy certain things, but what you need to buy really depends upon your overall architectural plan that you have to have in place before you go out and you buy something. So yeah, Oracle and SAP offer security capabilities, as well as a number of vendors that specialize in security. Whether or not to go with a large platform vendor, security really will depend upon many different factors having to do with what business challenges you're looking to address and what your existing environment happens to be. So, if you're already an SAP customer, looking at SAP solutions makes sense. Same with Oracle, but that's by no means the only option that you have.
Are there niche security vendors that are cropping up around SOA and web services?
Yeah, there are a number of different kinds of vendors. There's a whole set of XML appliance vendors that basically tackle this problem in hardware. So you have vendors like Layer 7 Technologies, for instance, that are in this space. Reactivity was just acquired today by Cisco, so that's news of the day. That Cisco is basically trying again to enter this space. Their Aon's approach that they tried in 2006 didn't work out for them, and now they're trying something else. There's other vendors as well that are focusing on hardware solutions to this problem. But they also have software vendors like Securent. We're doing some work with Securent, and they offer an entitlement management system that basically handles fine-grained entitlements. So if you have a privilege to access a web service, well, you don't want an all or nothing affair. You want to say, well, this particular user may have the right to do certain things but not other things. They may have the right to have certain levels of visibility but not others. Maybe they're a manager, so they get to do this kind of approval, but they're not an executive, so they don't get to do that kind of approval. That's a very difficult problem to handle in the SOA environment, where the services abstract multiple different systems. So you don't want to be in a situation where you have to hard code the links to each of the different services. So that's one of the vendors that is in this space as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, our listeners will be hearing from an SAP executive or two SAP executives and an Oracle executive about their SOA strategies. What is your take on their strategies? You know, Oracle with their Fusion middleware and SAP with its NetWeaver platform.
Well, Oracle is really trying to cobble together an approach to SOA infrastructure through a number of acquisitions. So, it's a bit of the Frankenstein strategy, you know, buy a bunch of parts and hope for lightning. But that being said, they have made quite a bit of progress as well. So, while it's still going to be a few years until they get all the pieces working together, they have been moving forward. And their security piece is a piece that they acquired from Oblix a while back that has identity and access management, and that's a key part of their strategy. Now, in SAP's case, they are much more likely to build everything themselves, so they don't typically grow through acquisition. And they have the overall NetWeaver Enterprise SOA approach to the marketplace, where they're taking all of their customers and gradually migrating them to this new approach to the ERP infrastructure, where now customers have to buy both the services as well as the NetWeaver infrastructure. So it's a bit of selling both the trains and the tracks that SAP is looking to do. Mm-hmm. So security then would be an integral part of that infrastructure that you would get when you get NetWeaver.
You know, one of the things that has been coming up a lot is the use of the development of composite applications, which tap into obviously several different data sources, whether it be with SAP or even third-party vendors, to solve a very specific business problem. If you're tapping into multiple data sources and you're buying this composite application from a third-party vendor, not necessarily from SAP or from Oracle or from whatever ERP vendor you're using, do composite applications open up enterprises to more vulnerabilities?
Well, yeah, that's exactly the problem I was talking about. Where okay. One of these composite applications or a service-oriented business application, it is made up of services, but it also can be exposed as a service as well. So when you think about a business service an organization might be dealing with, it could very well be a composite application in its own right. It may have multiple steps. It may implement an entire business process, and each of these steps may then be abstracting various different database queries or application calls itself. So you have this very complex security scenario where you have different users accessing different capabilities. You also have threat management issues as well in terms of what hackers might be looking to do in order to break into a system. Mm-hmm. So you have to prevent the bad guys from doing what they're doing, and you also have to enable the good guys to have access to the capabilities and data that they require to do their jobs. But you still have protected areas and protected information even for within the organization.
And I know it's still very early here, but you haven't heard about any specific security issues around SOA that have been cropping up.
Well, it's nobody likes to talk about this.
Right.
So it's not like somebody's going to issue a press release saying, "Hey, somebody just broke into this service." So you have to read between the lines a bit. But what we are seeing are more visibility into issues of data security, resulting partially from the new California law where organizations have to publish the fact that the credit card numbers or other personal information has been exposed. So the question then is, are services a part of the problem or a part of the solution? And that's still a question mark, right? Because nobody's going to talk that much about so specific issues they're having with service security.
Well, Jason, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Next, I met with two executives from SAP back in February at RSA Conference 2007 in San Francisco. The executives, who are part of SAP's security team, gave the software vendor's approach to SOA security.
My name is Fritz Bauerspies. I'm director of the NetLeader Product Management Security Team.
My name is Holger Mack. I'm part of the Product Definition Security Team of SAP, as title as Product Strategist.
Is there a need for additional security as companies move towards a service-oriented architecture?
I think the way SOA changes the whole environment, security as such doesn't change. We still need authentication, identity management, encryption, and so forth. Just the way through the changes in architecture, the way we approach security has to change. So I think we have to adopt security mechanisms to the changing environment to meet the needs of the changing environment. I wouldn't call it like we need more security. We just need to approach it a bit differently.
What do you mean by approach it a little bit differently? I mean, what are some of the different approaches to SOA security?
Well, the difference is that, especially in the area of business software, traditionally you have one system being, for example, SAP, where you have your whole business process running in a controlled environment somewhere in the back of your data center, and in future with a more distributed approach, business process running across platforms, maybe even across company borders. Obviously, some of the paradigms that you had before don't hold anymore. So in this case, a bit different approach is needed.
SAP's version of SOA is sort of centered around NetWeaver. What security features are built in with NetWeaver, and how do third-party security solutions fit into SAP's NetWeaver strategy?
NetWeaver is the platform on which the applications reside. And it's not only SAP applications, but also applications that partners build upon that. So what we do in NetWeaver is we provide all the central functions that you need there and central services for security to allow the applications to use this and do as little security implementation as necessary. The more that can be done centrally, the better it is. And if you put it centrally, the mistakes are avoided. If each application tries to do the same again, then the problem of errors is much, much higher. So this is the reason why we concentrate everything in NetWeaver.
Can you give an example of some of those security features that are central to NetWeaver?
To give two examples, one would be all the user management, authentication, login. You shouldn't do it in the application itself for maintenance reasons and for security reasons, but there's a central provisioning by this. So this is supported by NetWeaver. Another example would be if we try to counter specific attacks, cross-site scripting attacks, SQL attacks, there are filter functions that help to protect this, and these are centrally available through the NetWeaver, and applications can just use them instead of implementing them all themselves.
Are companies necessarily using these security features, or are they turning to third-party security vendors to do it? Or do they augment with third-party security vendors?
There are certain functions that need to be integrated very closely. So these are integrated in NetWeaver. There are several areas where either extended functions or that we do not provide in NetWeaver are used. For example, if you go to authentication, NetWeaver doesn't provide biometric authentication directly, but there's an interface for partners who can do this and link to the authentication, as well as other areas. For example, virus scanning. You can do virus scanning when uploading files into the SAP system. But SAP is not a vendor of security products, so we will not produce a virus scan engine of our own. What we do is we provide an interface and say, yeah, well, you can connect your antivirus engine to this interface, and NetWeaver will take everything that's coming in, pass it through that antivirus solution that you have attached, and then push it further into the database.
Where does security fit into a company's design process when they begin to build a blueprint for SOA?
That's a very important topic, because we do quite a lot within the SAP system itself to provide things. But even if you have a secure software providing all security functionality, if it comes to implementation at the customer side and will be used there, if this isn't done correctly, you don't get a secure system landscape. So we not only limit to security functions and to producing a secure software, but we offer a lot of services to help customers to do a secure implementation.
What are some of those services?
On the one hand, you find a lot of information in the web. Each application is accompanied by a security guideline describing the most important security settings and security considerations that you have to take into account. And there is, for example, a service called Security Optimization Service, either available as a service from SAP or as a self-service out of the Solution Manager, which does a check on the current installation and checks whether important security settings and security configurations are done correctly to allow for secure operation of the system.
I also wanted to bring up composite applications. Obviously, around NetWeaver, that's been SAP's strategy. That means SAP's working with more partners. Security will have to be handled a little differently.
You have to take the partners into account to that, yes. So there's security information for them as well. And we extend our security guiding and checking process also to partners. So there's, for example, security certification available for partners where they get information, get checked, so that also their components are secure. And we, of course, we have a close look for measures that are needed to make the whole composition of all of this secure.
By their very nature, though, do composite applications make security a little more complicated since they tap into so many different data stores within SAP?
It obviously changes a bit with composite applications by nature are more cross-platform, cross even company or domain, security domain borders. So there are certain challenges that need to be addressed, yeah, but you have to look at more details. So it's more importance on open standard-based security, for example, things like single sign-on, that you do a standard-based single sign-on, go away from proprietary mechanisms, and all these things that that need to be addressed, obviously, in this context. Yeah.
Have there been any changes with the way SAP addresses security internally as we move into web, you know, the use of web services and SOA? Does that mean SAP has to, or not just SAP, but business software vendors in general need to change the way they view security or work security into their applications?
For us, it is important to go proactively for security. So we put security into the whole life cycle. We start at the very beginning, starting to have a look at the design. Does it work correctly? Is it possible to make it in a secure, to produce it in a secure way? Or we have guidelines, requirements for development supported by test case and so on. So we check during the development process. And we run security assessments by third parties that we contract to find errors before the software really goes out. So we have a lot of measures to counter this. And the final step is then we have a separate group called the validation group, which acts as a first customer, so to speak. So when software is ready, it gets delivered to validation, and they check whether the software works, and they also do extensive security checks so that we really find as much as possible before the software goes out into the world.
Does SAP NetWeaver necessarily, is it necessarily much different than Oracle's Fusion middleware in terms of security?
NetWeaver is an integrated platform and has being grown from the SAP basis and the basic applications that have been in there from BI, XI, and so on. So it's a very integrated approach, which makes it much more easier to implement in a secure way instead of you have many, many different components and try to integrate everything.
We can't talk with SAP executives without getting Oracle's take on SOA security. I spoke recently with Ashish Mohindra. He's Senior Product Director of Oracle Fusion Middleware. He gave his take on SOA security.
If I'm an Oracle customer and I'm starting to use XML, web services, and SOAP, my organization is probably on the cutting edge. Aren't I opening myself up, my organization up, for more security issues?
It's a really good question because the two biggest concerns about a SOA environment for customers today are performance and security, right? So thing is, when you open up an application, just like you said, which previously you controlled access to a limited number of users, now you're opening up to unlimited number of users. One is, what is the performance impact? Because will I be inundated with requests? The system is going to be inundated with requests and cannot respond fast enough. And secondly, now since I'm using this interoperable format based on open standards, can anybody access my system who is not authorized to access these or get access to this information, right? So it's a very legitimate concern, but there have been a lot of advancement that has taken place in this area because most vendors, leading with Oracle, I mean, Oracle has been always about making sure our system, starting from the database all the way up the stack to applications, is 100% secure, right? So that's been our heritage. That's been our customer base. And what we really focus on is making sure that every service is 100% encrypted and 100% secure that only the right people get access to and cannot be tapped into by, all these spammers and people that you don't want warranted access with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I also wanted to dig in a little bit to some of the technologies that Oracle has, and maybe SAP doesn't have it or isn't quite there yet. One of them is the Bigpool Process Manager. I know Oracle acquired that from Calaxa. But can you talk a little bit about that? Because Oracle, I know, is taking the business process execution language, and this is sort of a manager around that to help build, to help run an SOA or help run services. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, this is a huge differentiator for us in the market, especially against SAP, compared to SAP. If you think about when companies are moving to a SOA environment, right, or transitioning their infrastructure to a services-based infrastructure, the first step is to say, okay, I'm going to expose everything as a set of services, right, or a key component as a set of services. So you need tools and technology that helps you do that. So Oracle has that with our application server, our J developer platform. Now the next thing what you need to do is to say, okay, now I have these set of services, how do they interact with one another in a context of a process? So a simple process like employee onboarding, right? When a new employee comes on into your organization, there are a series of steps that needs to take place. You know, this person needs to be assigned an office space, a telephone, an email account, need to sign up for the benefits, payroll, right? Now, that's a process. So how would you do that if you were to automate that process in the past? You would either code it, and then code in part of the coding, you would actually say, I want to call this service for payroll, I want to call this service for benefits, right? Or a simpler way, an easier way, is to actually define it visually, right? That's what Bigpool Process Manager does for you. What it does is it gives you a graphical development environment to actually say, this is what my process looks like, and then this is where I connect my different services to execute this process. And while I'm doing that, it's all based on a standard, open standards-based language, which is business process execution language, which we are highly promoting in the industry because it's highly useful for portability of these processes across various tools. So you never get a vendor lock-in. Anytime you adhere to a standard, it's always good for an organization, right? Because now they choose to go with another tool, or they want to take the same process and port it across different departments, it becomes very, very easy for them. Plus, everybody's learning the same language, the same constructs, which are open standards based, that you don't have to worry about building up new skill sets within your organization. And lastly, it's really important that it can work on different with your existing IT infrastructure. So let's say you standardize on VA, WebLogic, or WebSphere, mm-hmm. or JBoss, right? You don't have to just be an Oracle shop to do that. You can still run that process on top of it using People Process Manager. Huge differentiator compared to what SAP is doing, which is locking you in with NetFeaver. And once they have these processes defined on NetFeaver, you really can't do anything but be reliant on SAP to run these.
If I'm an SAP customer, and I'm using an Oracle database, and many SAP customers are, can they take advantage? Can they use any of the Oracle Fusion middleware? Will that support their SAP applications in any way?
Absolutely. Actually, there's a stat that there are more SAP customers using Oracle components of Oracle Fusion middleware than they're actually using NetFeaver today. And the reality is, you know, if you look at all our components, starting from People Process Manager to our security products, because to our portal capabilities, all of these components interoperate with SAP out of the box. So we have a number of customers that are using People Process Manager in an SAP environment to integrate different components of different applications from SAP. They're actually using this environment. Some of these are using it to migrate off of SAP. Some are integrating it to just connect the SAP CRM with their ERP system in the back end, or connect SAP to a legacy system, or connect SAP to another application. So we have a number of customer cases where their customers have chosen to go with our technology because it's best of breed, it's standards-based, and it works out of the box rather than waiting a couple more years.
I'm trying to figure out how you're calling it best of breed. I keep calling it best. To me, best of breed is a smaller company that has a real pure play. That's my definition of best of breed. It's a company that's, you know, specifically focuses on one piece of technology and is, you know.
I would say, you know, my definition of that would be in terms of best of breed is. That's the best product in that category. That's okay. How I define best. I don't look at the company size. What we have really focused on is making sure each and every component of our Fusion middleware stack can stand on its own and can compete with anybody in that category and still come out ahead. So we're not just leveraging the power of our platform, which we think provides a tremendous amount of value to our customers. But at the same time, we also want to make sure that they're not getting a sub-quality product, that they're getting the very best product for that particular category. If somebody's looking for an enterprise service bus, you know, we want to make sure that our customers are getting the best enterprise service bus in the market and that Oracle is our provider. So if you look at a Forrester ESB Wave, you know, Oracle was ranked number one in that. If you look at Oracle Application Platform Suite from, you know, in the market today, Oracle is ranked number one in that. If you look at web services orchestration engines, there is nothing that compares in the market to People Process Manager today. So each component, Oracle is really spearheading the market category. That's why I say best of breed.
Okay.
And I want to make it very clear that we do offer that capability. It's not a checkbox for us. We really focus on deriving the best functionality there.
That's fair.
Now, I wanted to address something that Ashish said earlier in the interview. He said that customers who choose SAP NetWeaver would be locked into SAP. SAP disagrees with that comment. As Jason Bloomberg of ZapThink said, the whole point of SOA is to build a more flexible environment, to be able to easily tap into different data stores and use homegrown and third-party applications to solve a business problem. And that certainly has been SAP's strategy moving forward. Well, that ends this edition of Security 360. You can check out our other podcasts at our podcast archive at searchsecurity.com/podcast. And you can always get the latest security news and information at searchsecurity.com/news. For now, until next time, I'm Rob Westervelt. Have a great day.